Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ghouls. This is Doc, and welcome to Doc Sludge's Toxic Cinema. And tonight we're talking about Godzilla 84. Now, Godzilla 84 goes by several different names. It goes by, of course, Godzilla 1984, Godzilla 1985, Godzilla, dot, 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 and Godzilla Return or Return of Godzilla. So, that's a lot of names for one movie. That's very, very true. Well, there's also a bunch of different cuts of this movie, too. There's the Japanese cut, which I'll be talking about tonight, and the American re-edited version with Raymond Burr, which I'm actually going to not talk about tonight, but I'll talk about that next week. And that'll be our final Godzilla movie review for the month, and I will be switching gears next month into newer, into more interesting movie territory. We're talking really bad movies at all times. So, Godzilla 1984. Boy, I was 4 years old when, actually 5 years old when this hit the States, and it was in the movie theaters, and of course it was the version with Raymond Burr, redubbed, actually dubbed and re-edited and everything. Many, 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 many differences between the American version and the Japanese version. For example, the Russians in the Chinese, or excuse me, the Russians in the Japanese version are actually pretty decent people who are trying to stop a nuclear missile from being launched from a boat that they had. Well, actually, the launch signal was sent from a boat that they had in Tokyo Bay when Godzilla attacked. But in the American version, the Russians, Soviets, or whatever you would like to call them, the Ruskies, just sent, you know, actually targeted Tokyo with a missile to take out Godzilla. This is a nuclear warhead we're talking about. And like I said, in the original Japanese version, that was not the case. They were actually trying to stop that from happening. And also, Dr. Pepper was involved, and Steve Martin, a.k.a. Raymond Burr. Raymond Burr was playing Steve Martin's character, but anyway, that the American version is a whole different mess that I'll get into next week. So basically, this movie starts off on a sailing boat. Boy, I am throwing things off this morning. It's the evening, excuse me. See what I mean? It was a Japanese fishing boat. The Yahara Maru is caught in a storm and currents off of Daikoku Island. As the boat starts to beach, it encounters a very large monster, which this monster turns out to be Godzilla. Scene fades. And then we have a reporter by the name of Goro Maki show up on scene, and he finds the boat. Now, little tidbit of Godzilla trivia of history for you. Goro Maki is actually the name of a reporter that showed up in and was very integral to the main plot of Son of Godzilla. Definitely check Son of Godzilla out. Goro Maki, same name, different actor in this film, of course. Now, Maki gets on the boat, finds everybody dead. And I remember watching this movie just when I was a kid, and there was a seaman, actually the radio operator, who was found in a very interesting state of decay. Almost looks like a mummy, and really, of course, scared me when I was a kid. So while he's investigating the ship, Maki is attacked by a giant sea louse, known as a Shokairus. That's just the name for the movie, as far as I can tell. But anyway, and he actually finds everyone dead on the boat from the sea louse attack, except for Hiroshi Akamura. There's a whole story with, you know, his sister and everything, but anyway. So, as the plot, moving the plot along as fast as we can, because tonight I'm not feeling very well. Just had a yucky week so far. But we're going to keep this short to the point. And basically, blah, 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 let me see here. Oh, yes. A Russian nuclear sub is destroyed off the waters of Japan. And of course, this being in the 1980s, we had the Cold War going on. So this movie actually played with the whole Cold War thing, the United States versus the USSR, nuclear missiles, so on. So the USSR and USA are all about ready to smack each other with the big bombs. And the Japanese government actually was holding back releasing information that Godzilla was out there so they would prevent the panic in the country. But because they need to basically stop a possible war between the USSR and the USA, they make the statement, and with proof, that Godzilla destroyed the Russian sub. Okay. Now, this is where things get pretty cool here. This is one of the first movies you'll ever see Godzilla eating. Air quotes, eating. Now, the Japanese Godzilla is an organism that is a living nuclear reactor. Okay, it doesn't eat fish, just like the American version 98 does not eat fish. Contrary to popular belief, he does not eat trains. He may like to chew on them or toss them around a little bit, but he does not eat trains. Godzilla actually gets past all of the government resources trying to find him during a foggy evening. Okay, fog can stop the Japanese military in this movie, which is hard to believe, but roll with it. It's Godzilla film. So Godzilla comes up on land, finds a nuclear reactor, rips it apart, and absorbs all of the radiation from the nuclear reactor, which is pretty cool because radiation comes into play here because, like I said, Godzilla is a living nuclear reactor. And during this scene, our human favorites, the star human stars in the movie are observing Godzilla feed off the radiation reactor, and they are near a radiation detecting site, which they have around nuclear reactors to detect any form of leakage. And you can see that the radiation is close to zero. So that means Godzilla is feeding upon it. All right, so Godzilla wanders off and comes back, attacks the city, attacks Tokyo. And there's, I have to be honest with you, the fight between the Japanese military and Godzilla is a quick mess. It ends badly for the military, of course. And there is a new piece of equipment called the Super X. Now, the Super X does some pretty good damage to Godzilla using cadmium shells. Apparently, cadmium is used to radiation-proof stuff, maybe? But it's kind of like a half-assed explanation. Remember, Godzilla movie, Godzilla science. And the Super X is actually able to knock out Godzilla temporarily. And the nuclear missile that I mentioned before that got launched accidentally by the Russian ship in the Japanese version gets taken out above Tokyo. The nuclear missile gets taken out by anti-missile missiles. Did you get all that? A nuclear missile is taken out by anti-missile missiles. So there's some radioactive fallout. Godzilla wakes back up and seriously trounces everything. I'm not going to spoil the end. I'm going to stop explaining the film right there. Now, this Godzilla film followed up the absolute utter critical failure of Terror of Mechagodzilla in 1975. So this was a decade after they stopped making Godzilla films. So it's kind of clunky. The Godzilla suit is clunky. It kind of has this derp look most of the time. Like you'll be roaring and kind of supposed to be looking at something, but the eyes are like not focused. I want to, They actually worked on that in further Godzilla films like Godzilla vs. Biollante and King Ghidorah, Space Godzilla Destroyer, so on, and even the Millennium series. The cool thing is they actually made Toho Studios made a 16-foot tall. I've heard it was taller, but I'm just I'm going by what Wikipedia says. I heard it was like 30, then I heard it 16. But they call this thing a Cybot, and which was used for like up close shots of Godzilla's head and roaring shots and stuff. You can definitely tell the difference between the head of the Cybot and the head of the actual suit that was worn by Ken Satsuma. Now, Ken Satsuma, he played Gigan in Godzilla vs. Gigan, also Ghidorah in Godzilla vs. Ghidorah, which I talked about last week. Cool thing is about Ken Satsuma is he actually played Godzilla up until the end of the 90s series with Godzilla vs. Destoroyah. And very, very cool. So just remember, this is his first gig as Godzilla, but his third gig as a kaiju. So he does a wonderful job as Godzilla, but the suit itself is just, oof, boy. It's okay. It's, I'll definitely say it's okay. But I really have to admit that the soundtrack to this movie is one of my favorite non-Akira Ikufubi soundtracks. There was a rumor going around that he actually refused to do the soundtrack of this film because he didn't want to do a movie about a 80-meter tall Godzilla, which is actually found out to be absolute bullcrap. Akira declined because he was actually teaching composition at the Tokyo College of Music at the time. But he did eventually come back, and he teamed up with other composers for future Godzilla films. Now, and just so everybody, and back to the Godzilla suit for a moment. The Godzilla suit was 240 pounds and was not built to Ken Satsuma's body specification. So it looks kind of wonky every once in a while, but it's still an excellent design. And this is a very dark Godzilla movie. Like in the 60s and 70s, Godzilla was more of a superhero, let's bring the kids to the matinee and just let them sit there and veg out and watch Godzilla movies all day. Perfect. These made for kids. Perfect. Now he goes back to like the nuclear terror that he was back in 1954. And this is the strange thing. When it comes to 1954 Godzilla and this Godzilla for 1985, there's kind of a strange time flip because some people say that this is the same Godzilla that was in the first Godzilla from 1954. But then when Godzilla raids again, it's a different Godzilla because the first Godzilla was killed in 1954. And then you go to like the series of 2000s, which flips around the whole timeline again and makes no reference to Godzilla in 1985. But then if you go back to the 90s series, oh boy, it starts with Godzilla 85. Godzilla versus Biollante actually directly references Godzilla 85. So it's a complete and utter bleh. The Godzilla timeline is a mess. Always has been, always will be. The American Godzilla films do not, we're not even going to touch those because that's not part of this continuity. Except in Godzilla Final Wars, where the Japanese Godzilla kicks the crap and absolutely murder, death, destroys the American Godzilla. But like I said, that's a story for a different day. Boy, so Godzilla 85 started, basically launched off the second series of Godzilla films, which is absolutely fantastic. We did need these. And unfortunately, I never got to see Godzilla 85 in the theaters. I always wanted to when I was a kid. My parents never brought me, probably because I would have been absolutely and utterly effing terrified. Because when I was a kid, the Care Bears scared me. Rainbow Bright scared me. Return to Oz scared me. Well, Return to Oz is really effing messed up anyway. And also, I bawled throughout the Land Before Time. Yeah, fun. Let's see here. There's one thing I forgot to mention earlier when I was talking about the Cybot version of Godzilla. They made a very, 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 very almost two scale size foot, a Godzilla. Yeah, it was life size. I just verified. This is a life size foot of Godzilla. Why? Because they could. They're actually kind of they wanted to have like more in depth and more in your face destruction. So they would attach this foot to a crane and smash things with it. Now, of course, the miniatures and so on, and actually life-size stuff for different scenes in this movie. Now, the whole foot crushing things from a human perspective, sorry about that, that was a hiccup, has been done a few times to come to memory. One of them was in Gappa, the Triphibian Monster, but that was actually during the first era of Godzilla movies. Then Godzilla 2000 did it once, and this movie. So that's pretty cool, but this is the biggest Godzilla foot besides the actual foot of Godzilla, which is just about actually a little bigger than a human foot. But anyway, that's we're going by movie reality, so it's really, really big. Okay, so I'll be honest with you, the American version. Oh, yeah, that I'm actually when I do the episode for Godzilla 85 American version, we are going to talk about a thing called Red Tape Hell, and this movie is wallowing in it. Now, a little interesting trivia fact here. It didn't do very well. Godzilla 85 did not do very well in the United States. The actual Godzilla 84 Japanese version did a ton better. But it still took 4 years to come up with Godzilla vs. Biollante, which is, like I said, the follow-up to this. Godzilla 85, actually Godzilla 1984, is available from Kraken Releasing on Blu-ray and DVD. I would highly suggest getting it, because that's about the only way you're actually going to see this movie. Because they have the rights to the Japanese version. About the only way you're going to get a copy of Godzilla 1985, the American version, is to buy the old VHS copies, which are kind of not a good idea. Mostly because there's no more VCRs being produced. It's from what I've heard. Of course, that's Facebook information, so that could be 99% wrong. But the amount of VCRs out in the wild right now are very, very limited for what I'm hearing. There's also going to conventions and giving gray market copies, which aren't exactly licensed, so I wouldn't suggest that. And I will not suggest anything like pirating or whatever, but yeah. Okay, there was something else I wanted to add into this. I'm not really sure what it was, but yeah, actually, yeah. This one last thing. There is no other monster that Godzilla fights in this. This is just like basically a reimagining of the first Godzilla film made by Toho. So that was pretty good. All right. I wrote everything down and I think I hit pretty much. Okay. All right. Now, I did find the little note about the whole timeline thing here. It is a sequel to the 54 film and a series reboot, but it's also confusing in the timeline too. So we'll just leave the timeline out of that. So, yeah, that's Godzilla 84 in a nutshell, The Return of Godzilla, and Godzilla 1985. If anybody ever plays this at a movie theater, or especially the 80, American 85 version, please tell me, because I want to be there. This is one of the few Godzilla films I have not seen in a theater. Now, I'm not old enough to say I've seen them on their original releases. I've seen them on like giant monster festivals, monster bash events, conventions and everything. So I was very lucky. And also I saw Godzilla Final Wars over at the Kodak Theater in Rochester, New York, along with Godzilla vs. Ghidorah. And what else did I see there? Oh, yeah, I saw Dominion, the original cut of Dominion, the prequel to The Exorcist. But anyway, that was all right. But yeah, this definitely is a fun flick to watch. The ending, oh, I'm not going to spoil it, but I'm just going to say, it for me, it's heart-wrenching. I mean, that's, you know, if you've heard the podcast I've done before about Godzilla, I am very emotional about a large radioactive lizard. So, go figure. All right. Yeah, that's about covers it. Oh, yes. I remember what I forgot to mention about the VHS tapes. Many of the VHS tapes that have Godzilla 1985 on it comes with Godzilla vs. Bambi, which is just a 3-minute little short. It's Godzilla vs. Bambi. It's really cute, and it's really funny, too. All right, everybody. That's all I got, and I need to go get an ice pack, take some Tylenol, and take a nap. So, everybody, have a good evening. Where's that foghorn? Daggummit. I gotta go poke the foghorn. There we go.